From the WLRN studios at the Miami Herald, I'm Luis Hernandez. Most victims of gun violence survive their injuries. Survivors, medical professionals, and grassroots groups say there are not enough resources focused on people who survive being shot. WLRN's Nadej Green tells us in Miami-Dade County, there's a growing desire to do something about that.
Megan Hobson was 16 years old when she was shot in Miami Gardens. She and her sister were dropping off a friend when someone started shooting.
We ended up being caught in the crossfire of what was some gang initiation retaliation. According to my detective, that's what they say it was.
A bullet from a high-powered rifle tore through the car.
It hit my left hip and ricocheted, lodging like bullet fragments. It tore my small intestines, my bladder, severed my nerve on my left leg because the bullet never exited.
Hobson's left foot has permanent nerve damage. One of her injuries is drop foot. When she walks, she has to raise her left hip in a swooping motion to keep her foot from scraping the ground. She's 22 now. In the 6 years since she's been shot, she's tried to connect with other local gunshot survivors and to find resources that can help her cope.
The big question would be, so you survived a shooting, now what? And once you get to that now what, there's no answer.
Hobson did Google searches and went to community meetings hoping someone could point her in the right direction.
I try to find support groups as well. Be around people who are like you.
To talk about chronic pain or just the insensitive things people say.
So I have even a handicap sticker and I'll go places sometimes and the most annoying thing to hear is when people are just like, but you don't look handicapped. And it's just like, what do you expect me to look like?
While there are a number of nonprofits and institutions that provide therapy or general social services, there isn't a comprehensive local network that specifically addresses this population, survivors of gun violence. Nearly 90% of the patients treated for gunshot injuries at Jackson Memorial Hospital survive. And nationally, most victims of gun violence survive. Survivors of violent crimes can face challenges beyond their physical injuries, from depression to navigating bureaucracies like police departments and the court system and health institutions. In college, a few years after the shooting, Hobson noticed something else had changed.
So it was the end of my sophomore year, and I was like studying for finals. And I was like, yeah, I think I'm going to fail this semester because I can't remember anything.
Doctors tell her the intermittent memory loss is likely a result of losing a lot of oxygen to her brain the night of the shooting. She says her new life comes with bouts of depression, and she's tried one-on-one therapy with 3 different psychologists.
They'd ask me questions, and I'm just like, these are questions that, like, I don't know how to answer, so it wasn't helping me.
That's why she wishes there was some kind of support group for survivors of gun violence.
I think the preferred method of coping is in the community.
Dr. Laura Ospina runs the Center for Behavioral Medicine at Jackson Memorial Hospital, which provides mental health services. Jackson's Ryder Trauma Center routinely treats gun violence patients. But Ospina says very few, even when referred to the center, visit a therapist there.
Given that there have been thousands of gunshot wound survivors in the last 10 years, it's a handful of my colleagues who said, oh, yes, I remember treating such and such. The numbers are pretty low.
She says part of that could be barriers. You need insurance to use the center. It might be too far from a neighborhood. And then there's the overall stigma of mental health services. There are other support groups. Jackson does offer or host peer support groups for parents of premature babies, and for burn victims. But there's nothing for gun violence survivors. School-age survivors of gun violence have access to counseling through the Miami-Dade County Public School System. The school district says it's not aware of any peer support groups for survivors of gun violence.
You're with the health counselor. What's your name?
Tracy.
Oh, Tracy, okay. You're going to go out or you have a table?
We have a table.
Wayne Rollins is the coordinator of Walking One Stop. He brings together counselors and social service providers to canvass Miami-Dade neighborhoods right after shootings. But he says there needs to be a more long-term approach to working with and figuring out the needs of gun violence survivors.
Part of the reason why it's kind of gone unaddressed because it just happens so often, you know, that it's become normal to us, and it's not normal.
Rollins is part of a group advocating for a trauma recovery center that would coordinate services for people who survive violent crime. It would include counseling, help with medical issues, and provide an overall safe haven. There are models that exist in other places. California's gotten a lot of attention for its trauma recovery centers. Rollins is talking to some of the groups there. For Megan Hobson, who was shot when she was 16, her injuries meant she had to re-envision her future.
I know if I had full function and full form, I'd be able to do whatever I wanted to. Like, my life is basically what it is now because of the shooting.
She wanted to become a pediatric oncologist, but because of her memory loss, she's had to rethink what she thought was her dream career. She's still in college, now pursuing a degree in photojournalism. She says she wants to document lives. Hobson also wants to be an advocate for other survivors of gun violence and to help build the support networks that do not currently exist.
You can get involved in your neighborhood. You can find out ways that you can get help if you need help. You can find ways that you can even de-stress. It can also be a place where you can seek inspiration.
Grassroots organizations in South Florida are working to see if they can get funding through the Federal Victims of Crime Act. I'm Nadege Green in Miami.
Florida would no longer issue marriage licenses to couples younger than 18 under a bill filed Monday by Republican lawmakers. From our sister station, WFSU in Tallahassee, reporter Jim Ash has more.
Senate Rules Chairman Lizbeth Beniquisto of Fort Myers says she's heard of parents forcing girls as young as 11 to marry the abusers who got them pregnant. Florida law allows 16 and 17-year-olds to marry with parental consent, and minors who have children or are pregnant can also be issued marriage licenses. Senate Majority Leader Wilton Simpson of Trilby is a co-sponsor. The bill is filed for the next legislative session that begins in January. I'm Jim Ash.
Gert became the season's second hurricane Monday evening northeast of the Bahamas and is expected to move out to sea. This morning, however, meteorologist Jeff Huffman explains why he's paying more attention to a region in the Atlantic much farther away.
We have a train of multiple tropical waves that have developed now in the Far East Atlantic, and chances are increasing that one or more of them moving off of Africa will become a storm over the next 5 days. It's worth noting that today, August 15th, is historically a turning point in the Atlantic season, with more than half of the annual activity occurring over the next 60 days.
While it's too early to get specific on where any particular system may go, Jeff believes there could be a U.S. threat from the tropics in the next couple of weeks. This is WLRN News. I'm Luis Hernandez.